Hello, the internet. I'm here with Kate Mulcahy. Hi, Kate.
Hi.
Now, you're from the Education Labs group.
Yes.
The same team as our good friend Kosa, who showed us the Windows Live Moodle integration.
Right.
Now, today we're going to talk about a couple of projects that your team is working on. But maybe quickly, could you give us a quick overview of Education Labs? Kosa talked to us about it when we saw him a few weeks back. What is Education Labs? What do you guys do?
We're a very small team within the Education Products group. Education Products Group is a team at Microsoft that looks at how all the products that Microsoft has kind of fit into education and what can we do to kind of build on top of Office or Windows and things like that, specific for teachers and students.
Mm-hmm.
So Education Labs is an even smaller group than that that's all about kind of concept testing some of the ideas. We have so many ideas and we can't turn them all into products. So we want to at least get some prototypes out there, see what teachers and students think.
And you are a very small group. You're like three people, right? Or five people?
Yeah, we almost have five people now.
Wow, so you could you could just play basketball with that number right now.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So today you're going to show us three projects, something that's going to be launched very soon and some other projects that are in development.
Right.
Tell us about them.
So the first one I'll show you is the Math Worksheet Generator.
Okay.
And that's built on top of the Microsoft Math Engine. And it's basically for teachers that want to create handouts. Right now teachers will maybe have a textbook with a bunch of practice problems that they'll have students do, but you can kind of never find enough practice problems. I actually was a teacher before I was in the Education Products group. I was a math specialist in elementary. So this is one that I clearly could have used back when I was teaching instead of maybe photocopying problems here and there. So that helps you to create, you put in one problem, and I'll show you, but you can create a worksheet with as many similar problems as you want.
Cool.
The second one is folder-based sites.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically because our user research team has talked to many, many teachers, higher ed, elementary, middle school, high school, the full gamut of teachers. And so many of them have lots and lots of documents, and they haven't found the ideal way to share them yet.
Okay.
So we created a tool that we want to kind of test out, see what people think, if this is maybe a fast and easy way to share your documents.
Okay.
And the third one is flashcards, and that's more of a grassroots effort that came out of the Education Products group, and we as a labs team picked it up and decided to put it out there. We're hosting it on Azure, and I'll show you that too. It's all about creating and sharing flashcards.
Great. All right, well, let's have a look at the what are we calling this one, the generator?
The Math Worksheet Generator.
Math Worksheet Generator, okay.
Right. Okay, so basically, you can start by typing in a problem that you want to create a worksheet with similar problems, or you can choose one of the samples. So I'll type in a problem. Let's say I'm teaching addition of fractions with like denominators.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll do 1/5 plus 2/5. And now I say maybe I want 12 problems, so I can change that to 12. And I click Create. And you can see it created a Word document with a whole bunch of practice problems. And you can see they're all addition of fractions. They're all positive fractions, and they have like denominators. And then if you look all the way at the bottom, we create an extra sheet that has the answer sheet for your teachers.
Okay, so you mentioned briefly before, this uses the Math Engine, the Microsoft Math Engine. So
right.
So what's kind of happening behind the scenes? What are you doing there? It's seeing, how is it taking that input and then generating, you know, those 12 problems?
That's a good question. So basically, we analyze whatever problem you put in there.
Mm-hmm.
And every number you put in there turns into a variable. And we're smart about it. So we notice that because you use the same denominator, we're going to make our best guess and say, we think you want problems that have problems that all have the same denominators.
Sure.
And because you chose two positive numbers, we're guessing that you want addition of positive fractions.
Sure.
If you do something a little more complicated, like, let me do one that has a variable. So we'll do 2x plus 3 equals 11. It's going to take a look at this problem and say, okay, well, that's the format ax plus b equals c, where a, b, and c are all positive whole numbers,
mm-hmm.
and x is a positive number, x is a whole number, too.
Sure.
So it's going to give you a lot of problems that have whole numbers as solutions. Now, if I changed it to 2x plus 4 equals 11, then x isn't a whole number. So it'll give you problems that are a little more complex.
Okay.
So I can hit create and show you. And this kind of gets to the first problem I showed you is more on an elementary level. As soon as you start doing algebra, that's more kind of middle school and some high school. So you can, there's all the problems. We can see that it created, I don't know if that's kind of big enough for people to see, I can zoom in. But all of the solutions are whole numbers. And you can see it created a whole variety of problems.
Okay, now it opened up in Word. Mm-hmm. Is this the only format that you can actually generate those worksheets?
No. Actually, if you don't have Word installed, it still works. We wanted to make sure that it's accessible to as many teachers as possible.
Sure.
So if you don't have Word installed, it'll create HTML versions of the worksheets, and it opens in Internet Explorer or whatever other browser that you have installed.
Great. Okay, cool. So how complicated a problem can you input into this, and then it kind of deconstructs mm-hmm. it to create a worksheet?
Well, right now we support kind of all through algebra. Probably the highest level would be quadratic equations. Mm-hmm. We did a little bit of work trying to get trigonometry to work and calculus, and we have a lot of the work done for that, but it's not quite ready for release.
So perhaps maybe in the future you'll
write
see
a future version.
Cool.
But we wanted to at least get this part out there.
Okay.
So I can show you an example of how to do quadratic equation. That's a good time for me to also show you this feature of Windows 7 that kind of works really well with the worksheet generator. So in Windows 7, if you go to All Programs, Accessories, there's this thing called the Math Input Panel. Here it is.
Right.
And with your mouse, or if you have a tablet with a pen, you can actually write in the problem. So for example, maybe I'm teaching about square roots and I want a whole worksheet that has to do with square roots. I don't know how to type in the square root symbol. This would be a great time to use that.
Okay.
Or just if you're doing things with a lot of exponents and it's kind of annoying to type the little caret thing.
Sure.
So I'll show you a quadratic one. So let's just say I do x squared plus 3x equals 16. And I can click insert. Just make sure. And it puts it right up there, and
Very cool.
I can go in, and I can click create to create the worksheet. And that also shows you. So now we have a lot of equations where you have to use the quadratic formula to solve it.
Okay.
And the corresponding answer sheet.
Wow. Now, you mentioned before that this uses the Microsoft Math engine.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean you have to have Microsoft Math installed, or is this kind of an independent piece of software?
This is an independent piece of software. If you do have Microsoft Math installed, then you can do it. Microsoft Math adds all these advanced features kind of to Word. So you could do things like take the problem and click solve, and Microsoft Math will show you all the steps it takes to solve the problem.
Oh, okay.
But for this, we use some of the same DLLs for Microsoft Math, mm-hmm. but that all comes with Math Worksheet Generator, which is a free download.
Okay, so you don't have to have, you don't actually need Word, you don't actually need Microsoft Math,
right.
but if you have them, it can add some kind of additional mm-hmm. elements to how it works.
And we're also working on a web version.
Okay,
so
cool.
So say you're a teacher and at your school you have a Mac or something like that, and so you can't install the client version. And later this fall, we plan on having a web version out there, and that will also create HTML versions.
Cool, and again, this tool is primarily for teachers.
It's for teachers, or if you're a math tutor and you're trying to teach a student a certain concept and you want to create practice problems. Also, if you're a student struggling with a concept, you could use it
sure.
to just generate your own practice problems.
Or parents that are trying to kind of work with their kids and helping them
yeah,
with their
exactly.
math as well. Okay, great.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be a free download. Is it a free download?
Yes, from educationlabs.com.
Okay, great. The same place right. we went to download the Moodle content?
Exactly.
All right, great. Now, that's the first project. There's another two you wanted to talk to us about.
Yeah, so
are they related at all to the worksheet generator?
Not necessarily.
Oh, okay.
If you create worksheets, you might want to, and you want to post them online for your students, then folder-based sites would be a really great way to do it.
Great.
So I could show you that, but I have some other content available that I'll show you for the folder-based sites. Okay, so I think I have it open already. So this one requires Windows Live ID to sign in. So I am pretending I'm a teacher named Mary North. So it's still signing in. But so I'm signed in, and I don't have any sites created. So it says no sites have been added. To create a site, click New Site. So I have, pretend I'm an earth science teacher. There's this works for all levels, all subjects. So I just had a randomly.
Is that what we
once
called geography? Is that what geography? No.
Geography, earth science, pretty similar.
Sorry?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sometimes in the younger grades they call it earth science. I don't know if that's just a little friendlier. Or
okay,
what.
No worries.
Okay, so here's a bunch of content I have for teaching my earth science class.
Okay.
Right? Maybe I'm teaching eighth graders or something like that. So I have some Word documents that are assignments. I have some images that I want to share. Some Word documents that are informational.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a PowerPoint, a presentation that I gave. And I even have possibly a syllabus. I threw a syllabus in there. That's more for higher ed, but I just kind of wanted to show that we do support like a PDF document if you have something like that. So I have all these documents. I want to create a website. So first I just click New Site, and I'll call this Mary North's Earth Science. And I click Create. Now when I click Create, it is provisioning some space for me up in the cloud. This is all hosted in Azure.
Mm-hmm.
And it's creating, it creates a couple of folders by default. Right now it says gradebook and assignments, and that's not what they're actually going to say, because we don't recommend that you put any sort of gradebook on this. These are all public sites that are being created.
Sure.
So it's really anything that you'd be willing to share with the world.
Okay.
So I'm going to go ahead and rename that gradebook one right now. So I'm going to call that class materials. And I'll create one more folder for the syllabus. So let me actually, I want to have it be a top level folder. So I have my three folders, class materials. Let me take those materials, just highlight them all, drag and drop them in. And you can see that it's converting them all to HTML and then it's uploading. So you can see when they're done. I'll do the same for assignments. So I had a few assignments in there. It's converting those. And it's pretty fast, and then the teachers don't have to think about, well, how do I make this publishable on the web? And then the syllabus I can drop in. If you have a file that's a format that we don't know how to convert to HTML, we'll still put the file up there on the site for you. It'll just be downloadable by your students. I think I left out the PowerPoint, so let me add the PowerPoint to class materials too.
Okay, so now, you've uploaded all your files?
Yeah, so all the files are up there and they're uploaded. So what happened to them? Well, when they're uploaded, we took all of those files and generated a website for you. So you click go to site, and this is basically, you could share this URL with your students. Say, here's all the material up here. And it took all the folder names and created left nav based on the names of the folders. And then the individual links would be the file names.
Sure.
So if I click on assignment one, you could say it took that Word document, converted it to HTML. And then the students can really easily look through a website of all your documents. For an image, you can just view the image on the web. You could always also click on download or print. So if it was something like a worksheet that the teacher would want students to print out or something like that, could do that. You can see for something like the PDF document, it displays just like it would on any website.
Sure.
Right, within the browser.
Now this seems like a...
And then this is this last piece, sorry to interrupt you.
Oh, sure.
This last piece is the PowerPoint.
Okay.
So it does create PowerPoint. Turn it into HTML in a way that's still usable.
Okay.
And you could even do like a full screen slideshow of your PowerPoint.
Wow, and this is all hosted on Azure.
Yes, so that means that you wouldn't have to pay for the hosting of it because we're taking care of all the hosting.
Now, how do you, so the question I was going to ask is, how do you differentiate between a teacher mm-hmm. using this product and, let's just say, a company that wants to look at some free mm-hmm. hosting for some kind of materials on the web? So is that perhaps a challenge that you guys are looking to solve for making mm-hmm. this sure this is a free service for teachers but not having it abused by other people?
Well, we're definitely concerned that it would be used for kind of worse purposes than that. So we want to have ways to report abuse and take down content if it's necessary.
Sure.
But if a student wants to use it to put up a portfolio, or if you know, some random person wants to use it or something like that, that's kind of not the intended use, but we're not planning on stopping that. We will have quotas and things like that, so you can't create, you know, 50 websites with, you know,
and is that quota going to be linked back to Windows Live ID? So you, just like Live Mesh, you might be given 5 gigs or something? Or...
Right, exactly.
Okay, cool. Now, this is a project that's still in development. How long has it kind of taken to get to this stage? Was this something that's been in development for a while, or...?
This has probably been in development for maybe 3 months, maybe 2.5 months.
Okay.
This one came out of our user research team. So these are, we have a team of 3 or 4 people that have been for years meeting with teachers and students of various levels. And this is one that was kind of near and dear to their hearts because they're saying this is something that kind of needs to be done. And we're testing it out. It is not that different from maybe posting a file to your SkyDrive or publishing a website. It's kind of in between the two, but it's really fast and easy, so we want to kind of test it out and see what people think.
The converting to HTML is kind of a great feature, though, because you know, if you've created, if a teacher has created those Word documents in 2007 and perhaps students don't have Word or older versions of Word, there's an HTML version online, which is great.
Exactly.
That's cool. All right, so the third project you want to show us today?
Okay, the third one is flashcards. And this one is the least done in terms of development work. So all of these aren't even final wireframes, much less final design. But you can still get the idea of the feature set. So you'd come to the site where you can browse through all the flashcard decks that are out there. We'll release with some decks, probably with some Encarta content in them or content that we've come up with. But we expect most of the decks to be created by the community. And there's going to be a whole variety of decks. If you find a deck that you like here's this, maybe I'm really going into this math thing, right?
Sure.
I'm a math teacher. Here's a deck that teaches you addition of doubles, right?
Okay.
1 + 1, 2 + 2, those things. So if I really like that, I'll be able to add that to my decks, right? So we don't have the Windows Live ID hooked up yet, but you would sign in, and then when you go into my decks, you'll be able to see a list of, these are all the decks either I created or I found in the community and I really liked. And then once you find one, you can add cards or remove cards and kind of make it more your own.
Now, how do you go about creating a deck? So you said add card or remove a card. Is that all done from within the site?
Yes. I'll show you creating decks and then I'll show you the player, which is pretty interesting. So there's a couple of ways you can create a deck. One way is if I click Create New, I'm going to create a sample deck about constellations. Pretend I'm a science teacher now. Constellations. And we'll say that is science. And I'll just tag it Science and Constellations. We're still thinking about whether we should have categories or tags or whatnot. So we're still testing out a lot of these things. So I click OK. And I have my constellations deck. It doesn't have any cards yet. So when I click Add a Card, remember, it's not final UI.
Sure.
But I can choose an image. So I'm going to go into my desktop. So I create a little constellations folder. And I just have 5 constellations for this sample deck. And I took the name of the image and put it on the back of the card. So you can always change that to whatever you want, but it's kind of like a fast way of helping you create decks quickly. So let me add a few cards.
And do all of the cards have to be image-based?
No. On a card, you can have any combination of text, image, and sound.
Okay, cool.
And I'll show you a sound one to you.
All right, great.
So let me just create. Some of these, I'm not sure why it's not showing the thumbnail, but...
That's fine. Work in progress.
Yes. Okay, so I'm going to preview the deck that we just created. And somewhere in there, when you created the deck, it'll ask you, do you want to share this with the community or do you want it to be private?
Sure.
Right now, just for as far as we are, everything is shared. But when we release, you'll have the option.
Great.
So here's the deck. I look at this. Do you know what this constellation is?
I don't.
I don't remember
it's
either.
It's the swan.
So we flip. Okay, that's
Cygnus.
Kind of close. I don't even know this one.
I think that's Latin for swan.
Oh, is it?
I think.
So then you say, so did we know it or we didn't know it? Well,
we didn't know that.
We didn't know that. So we say don't know. This one is Ursa Major. I know that one for sure because it has the Big Dipper as part of it.
So the brown bear car wash bit.
So I'll say I already knew it. So you can see already it's taking these cards and putting them along the spectrum of the cards you know and the cards you don't know.
Okay.
And in the background, we're keeping track of what you know and what you didn't know and also how long it's been since you knew it or didn't know it.
Cool.
And based on some like memory science and some ideas around spaced repetition and things like that, we create like an algorithm for when to show you what card next. So because we only have a few cards, you won't really get the idea of it, but you can imagine the one that we said we don't know will show up more often than the one that we said we do know.
Okay.
And as you play over time, I'll just keep saying I know it. The cards that you say you know kind of enough times, they show up in this pile on the right, and that's when you know that you're kind of done studying for now.
Sure.
And then if I come back, if I was logged in, it's keeping track of all this for me, so that when I come back, it'll still remember the cards I didn't know last time and still show me those more often.
Okay. And the only two responses are, I know, I don't know. Is that
right.
kind of it?
Right. And honestly, we're still doing some testing around it. We've showed it to some students and teachers, and we're integrating some of their changes. There's still a little confusion around the spectrum along the bottom.
Okay.
And whether messaging to the user what the object of, like, how do you know when you're done studying? Because
sure.
we don't have that in there. So it might not look exactly like this when
okay.
we release. So should I show you one that has sound, maybe?
Yeah, sound, and then maybe some text. That'd be great.
Sure. Let's see.
And this is not, this particular, there isn't any kind of public work in progress code that's available. So this is still just internal only.
Yeah, it looks like this is on a public site, but it's,
Still, it does live a little bit. Yeah, no problems.
It's not available for people to play with yet.
Cool.
So I don't know if you'll be able to hear the sound.
Is your laptop sound on? We should be able to hear something.
Yes.
Okay.
So we'll try it. So I'll do preview. These are French verbs. So to be, do you know?
Or not to be. Oh, French verbs.
I
don't know.
It's être, right?
Oh, of course.
So, of course, we have a little bug around if we show a special character, which we still have to fix, but... Did you hear that?
Yes.
So we can say, I knew that, to try.
Or not to try.
Pretend you knew that one. So you can imagine also having sound on the front of the card and mm-hmm. having maybe a few seconds of a song that's maybe classical music. You can have a whole deck and say, okay, that's Beethoven's Fifth. Or
sure.
that's something from Mozart and stuff like that.
This player, sorry, that's a Silverlight player, is that right?
Yes, that's Silverlight 3.
Okay, great.
So there's one more way to create a deck that's even easier than the kind of step-by-step if you have a lot of sounds and images. So I'm going to create a deck for state capitals. This is the more advanced way, but it's also a lot faster. I guess it's maybe history or politics, I'm not sure. So I've already typed in all of the state capitals ahead of time.
Sure.
But if you do something like, basically each line is a new card, and you do the front, colon the back,
mm-hmm.
if you have all text-based cards, you can create a deck really quickly. So I'm going to paste it in there and hit OK. And now you can see I have this whole deck with all the state capitals.
Wow.
And you can preview it and say, do you know Alabama? I know I'm really putting you on the spot for this demo.
Alabama, no.
Montgomery. So I'll say you didn't know that one. And
Sydney,
you can go ahead and play with it. It would be that fast. Nice try. It would be that fast to create a deck and have it shared with the community. So I think we have a few more. I think you've probably seen enough, but we have one with the flags of the Americas.
Sure.
I tried that one, and it's a pretty good system where it shows you the ones you didn't know.
And the kind of the vision for when this is finally launched is that teachers can potentially, or students can go in and either find decks that have already been created,
mm-hmm.
add them to their own kind of personal collection,
right.
or create things that they think are missing. And if it's public, people can kind of share.
Mm-hmm.
And can you amend a deck? Can you say, hey, I want to add a few more questions to this one, or your list of flags is incomplete, or something like that?
Right. So you could take this deck and say, well, you know, I don't like these two flags, or I don't like the resolution, or something
sure.
like that, and add some new cards to that.
Okay.
Some things that have come up are, there's all these theories about learning. And a lot of people feel that if you're using flashcards, you learn more if you create the flashcards yourself.
Okay.
So you can create the flashcards yourself, but we also know that if your friend spent a lot of time, or even some random person, creating a whole deck of all the flags, and that's, you know, it's going to take you a long time to get all that content,
mm.
it's nice to at least share it up there. And
yeah.
there's certain things that you'd want to put all the content in yourself, and other times where you just want to use one from the community.
Right. Now, this is, again, we've mentioned it's a work in progress.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a very rough time frame for when you think this might be at some kind of preview stage for the public?
Sometime this year.
Sometime this year?
Before the end of the year, yeah.
Great. And for more information on these projects, so obviously you're about to launch, or you'll be launching the math sheet generator soon.
Right.
And that will be at the Education Labs website. Which is? What's the URL?
Educationlabs.com.
Okay. And will there be more information on these projects at that website, or not until
There's more information about the math worksheet generator, but these ones, not until we're closer to release, yeah.
Okay. And what about for perhaps teachers out there? You know, would you like them to contact you with requests or questions or
that would be great. If people want to send in their ideas, you can go to the website, and on the bottom there's a feedback link where you can put in your ideas, or you could just email directly ELUSERFB.
Okay, we'll put
it's for Education Labs User Feedback at Microsoft.com.
Okay, great.
But it's probably easier to go to the website.
All right. Is there anything else we should know about this? Or I mean, it looks pretty cool. I'd love to. You know, I'm not from America, if you can tell from my accent. I'd actually like to learn some of the state capitals myself. I didn't realize that Seattle is not the state capital of Washington.
Oh, it's Olympia.
How about that? There you go. So I should probably get some of these.
Other things people should know, well, I used a lot of U.S. examples for the flashcards, but obviously it's not anyone could use it. It will be released English only, at least when we release. We would love it if anybody is looking at any of these applications to go on the website, participate in the discussion boards, send us feedback, because that's kind of the point of this. We want to know what the community thinks. Say, hey, are there two things that we're missing that would make this really good, or did we do something in a way that kind of doesn't make sense?
Great. And I suppose just one last time, the math worksheet generator, it's free.
Yes.
And it's targeted at teachers or math tutors or parents or even just math students, but free tool. So basically anyone out there that's a math teacher should really download this and give it a try.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool. Educationlabs.com. Thanks very much.
Thanks.
Cheers.